Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You will struggle to find 2 years in WWE history more tonally different than 1995 and 1997. 95 was an antiquated, bleak nightmare. 97, meanwhile, was absolutely wild, with WWE on the cusp of something truly amazing ahead of its next boom period. Given these huge differences, it only makes sense that the year in between 95 and 97 was pretty damn wacky. Hello there, my very good friends. I'm Andy from What Culture, and here are 10 things you didn't know about WWE in 1996. Number 10, a creative spike. While not necessarily a great year, 1996 was about as creative as the then WWF ever got. The creativity wasn't necessarily good or even consistent a lot of the time, but the willingness to explore virtually every new direction underscored a crazed response to the omni-shambles that was 1995. The WWF either invented or borrowed no less than 8 new gimmick matches that had never been seen on its own programming before, including the Iron Man match, Boiler Room Brawl, Buried Alive, and the Crybaby match, which was absolutely dire. Of these new stipulations, the Boiler Room Brawl was key. Mankind and The Undertaker destroyed one another in a violent and compelling backstage fight that unlocked a new realm, a new creative outlet, and informed the endlessly entertaining hijinks of the imminent Attitude Era. 1996 was the year in which, between the incredible brawling of the strap and boiler room matches and the technical purity of the Iron Man, the WWF embraced true stylistic change for the first time. 1996 was the year in which the WWF started to get it. Number 9. About that Iron Man match. The WrestleMania 12 main event is canonized by WWE to this day as a classic, a true highlight reel moment in the career of Shawn Michaels. The promotion of the match has trickled down to the fandom. It routinely makes and ranks highly in lists of the best matches ever. Now, wrestling is very subjective, as is every single art form on the planet, so this list entry right here isn't something along the lines of trying to tell you that the match was actually bad. Even if, subjectively, the match was actually boring until the last 15 minutes. But you go ahead and try watching this one back today and tell me it's one of the best things you've ever seen. You simply can't. Before it unfolded, decades before Edge versus Randy Orton at Backlash 2020, the WWF practically guaranteed you'd see the best match ever as Bret Hart locked up with Shawn Michaels. It wasn't even the best match in WWF that year, but again, that's an opinion. It is a fact that about 99.9% of the time, evidence of a great match or a popular slash overmatch is echoed by the crowd reaction and the sheer mind-melting extent that they are into it. That's called psychology, brother. On that front, Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels in The Iron Man was something of a failure because the crowd were dead. In another indictment, many were leaving the arena as the match unfolded. VHS viewers could tell which color the seats in the arena were, and Dave Meltzer, who attended live, wrote in an edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter that, and I quote, "To say they were leaving in droves would be an overstatement, but there were probably a few thousand empty seats by the time the match reached its climax." Number 8. The original plan for Shotgun Saturday Night. In 2002, knowing that it was obscenely difficult to strike a halfway decent TV deal, NWA TNA had the idea of airing weekly pay-per-views as a compromise and a bid to generate more money than a series of house shows. it didn't work. Well over a year before Vince McMahon formally introduced the Attitude Era with a verbose speech that basically amounted to, "We're gonna do car crash TV with breasts," the WWF wanted to launch something similar. It didn't work either. The idea was for the WWF to air a risque one-hour weekly pay-per-view aimed at the adult audience. This bid to capitalize on ECW's underground momentum, or maybe rip it off, ultimately manifested as Shotgun Saturday Night, which premiered as a TV show in January 97. Shotgun was exciting and creative, if not exactly great TV, but it was quite tame. You have to think, away from stricter standards and practices, that if the weekly pay-per-view model did amount to anything, it would have been much more edgy. In a neat trivia note, when Dave Meltzer relayed the story in an August edition of The Observer, he said the internal word within WWE was that the Saturday specials would, and I quote, "push the envelope." Vince would go on to use that exact same verbiage when kickstarting the Attitude Era in December 97. There was a company-wide awareness in the then WWF that things needed to change, but these experimental ideas only took root months or even years later. Number 7, the Click's chokehold was real. The Click had a chokehold over Vince McMahon, which they used, allegedly, to throttle the life out of anything that did not involve them and anything that they could get away with. And they manifested this quite brutally in 1996. Dave Meltzer, that man again, reported in a May edition of The Observer that Vader had to do criminally short dark match jobs for Shawn Michaels ahead of their SummerSlam main event. Jim Cornette has always said that Shawn didn't want to take the beating that came with working Vader. And he was right. If you look at the data on Cage Match or another website, Shawn often went over Vader in under 5 minutes. Meltzer reported that Vader was so furious at this that he was once heard saying, "This is BS laying down for this guy," when storming to the ring. Shawn went double time going over Diesel on the house show circuit, who was already on the way out of the company. But you'll never guess who Razor Ramon did jobs for on the way out. Between May 17th and 19th, in 4 matches across the legendarily brutal WWE schedule, Scott Hall stared at the lights for one Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Helmsley, subsequently, was punished for the curtain call. Or was he? Number 6, the Triple H narrative was fake. In May, when Diesel and Razor worked their last matches for WWE at a Madison Square Garden house show, each member of the Click broke kayfabe by banding together, face and heel alignments be damned, and bowing out. The curtain call is a Mandela effect phenomenon in and of itself. Somehow, the idea has taken root in some circles that Triple H was squashed by the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 12 as a punishment for his role in it. But this simply cannot possibly be true, considering WrestleMania took place before the curtain call. And if Vince McMahon could see into the future, he'd have probably made a phone call to the Wall Street Journal at some point. Moreover, the curtain call was apparently some huge transgression that incensed every corridor of Titan Towers. But again, that's not true. Measured against everything else, it was actually pretty tame by the Click's standards, although Triple H was apparently punished as a fall guy to pacify some old head road agents. But the truth is, he was barely punished at all. The curtain call happened on May 19th, and Hunter dethroned Intercontinental Champion Mark Mero in October. Yes, Hunter didn't win King of the Ring that year, but it was only delayed by a year, and his punishment, quote-unquote, lasted a whopping 155 days. There were no firm plans to actually punish the guy, it was just an exercise in optics, and a half-assed one to boot.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Number 5, the real explanation for the Ultimate Warrior Mania squash. As established in the previous entry, Ultimate Warrior did not squash Triple H at WrestleMania 12 as a result of an etiquette breach committed 2 months earlier. So, why did it happen then? The truth is, Triple H wasn't remotely over with the crowd by WrestleMania. WWE hadn't pushed him with the same conviction they had in the months after his debut, and while he was hardly a jobber, with the collapse of the territory system really being felt, WWE wasn't exactly overflowing with options in 96. So Warrior no sold the pedigree. He didn't even kick out at one, he just popped up, hit his signature moves and went home. The match was originally booked to be a more competitive back and forth, but that didn't work for the Warrior brother. Per the April 22nd Observer, Warrior vehemently refused to do anything that would help Helmsley, which is both funny and a fascinating snapshot of the politics at the time. As corrosive as the clique were, Vince McMahon was always, always gonna favour an absolute muscle freak over the lot of them. Number 4, the Bushwhackers were still around. You may remember the Bushwhackers, the arm-throwing, head-licking mad lads who may well have been too stupid even for the WWF of the late 1980s. Great as the sheep herders in the Fed, they were not. Very much the brand of comedy that only Vince McMahon found to be a riot, they simply weren't funny. They weren't even caricatures of people or even stereotypes, which Vince McMahon loved. People from Australasia don't do daft movements with their arms or lick people indiscriminately, at least the ones I know. They do normal human stuff and get attacked by spiders the size of horses. Everybody knows that. To understand the extent to which Vince was in the midst of an identity crisis as a promoter, in the same year that he first began to recognize that there were actual human beings underneath the glorified Hasbro plastic known to most people as skin, the Bushwhackers returned after several months away, and crikey, they evolved into Australian stereotypes, which is particularly absurd considering they were from New Zealand. Great. Number 3, one wrestler had no business being in the ring. Terry Gordy was a fantastic wrestler in his heyday. A massive unit who could bump and move, he was mean, legitimate, and a perfect contrast to the clean-cut Von Erichs, against whom his fabulous Freebirds warred to mega drawing effect in the 80s. Gordy was special, and as such, he starred for All Japan Pro Wrestling in the early 90s. Impressive, given the stratospheric in-ring standard in that company. The trajectory of Gordy's career and indeed life changed forever when, in August 93, he entered a coma for 5 days following an overdose. He had to learn how to do everything in life all over again, but tragically, he awoke an entirely different person. This different Terry Gordy was a stranger to himself almost. He had suffered profound brain damage, and yet, as a favor to Michael Hayes, hired by the WWF a year earlier, Gordy was brought in and repackaged as a turncoat druid to be the Undertaker's last monster of the week. Gordy, potentially through muscle memory, could somewhat emulate being a pro wrestler, but he just wasn't present. Jim Ross stated on his podcast that he was glad Terry didn't end up hurting himself or somebody else, but wrestling being wrestling, a gross industry, he continued to work until 2001, the year of his passing. Number 2, a funny legal letter. Scott Hall, as you'll know, turned up in WCW to initiate the New World Order angle. On an otherwise dire Nitro on May 27th, he interrupted the match and famously said, "You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here," delivered in his Razor Ramon voice. It was heavily implied that he was an unwanted guest operating on behalf of the WWF, which was great, but an untenable idea. This was a WCW story storyline not even remotely endorsed by the WWF. And that aspect of the act was abandoned when Hall was threatened with legal action. Were he to not drop the voice, the WWF would withhold both merchandise royalties and the pay-per-view payoffs that were due to him. What's hilarious about this is that it was technically the IP of Universal Pictures, in a very roundabout way. Razor Ramon was heavily inspired by Tony Montana, the lead character in 1983's Scarface, but Vince McMahon simply hadn't seen it. Scott Hall quickly started speaking in a voice almost indistinguishable from his own, but the sheer ignorance and hypocrisy of the legal threat was really funny. And number one, the irony of tribalism. You can prefer one wrestling promotion to another. It's almost impossible not to do that, given that that's how taste and preferences work. But you can't, or at least shouldn't, be a demented loyalist without at some point looking foolish. Last year, for example, in 2023, WWE fans questioned why AEW had allowed MJF to perform with a torn labrum. Meanwhile, to use just one example, Rey Mysterio in WWE worked through a serious knee injury for several months. The worst AEW fans continue to insist that WWE does not care about wrestling when Gunther exists. WWE fans, meanwhile, will say that blood is bad when Vince McMahon himself bled more at Survivor Series 2003 than Jon Moxley ever has. AEW fans will bury WWE for criticizing their fan base, while Tony Khan recently told his fans to put their money where their mouth is and stop whinging, and so on. Tribal WWE fans, which is absolutely not to say all of them, mock Tony Khan's recurring huge announcement gimmick. And rightly so. It's getting pretty annoying now, Tony. But those type of WWE fans don't know the half of it. The WWF promoted the returns of the fake Diesel and fake Razor Ramon with more hype than AEW's first dance, and that is barely an exaggeration. Tony Khan could hype an important announcement for a full month, reveal that he had signed Ryback to a 35-year contract, and it still wouldn't come close to Vince McMahon's desperation in the autumn of 96. I've been Andy, thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this video, check out the next one. See you later.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.